Well, the saying is, once a Badger, always a Badger. And that's especially true for Diane Nordstrom, who started as a track and field athlete at UW-Madison, now finishing up her decades-long career in sports. Oh, my goodness. She is the sports communication director, associate director of sports communication at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Larry Mueller here, by the way. Diane's helps members of the media get in touch with the volleyball team, with the swim team, men's tennis, and track and field. She's also the UW Athletic Hall of Fame Selection Committee member as well. So, and she's retiring. And I wanted to talk with her about her career and also talk about sports communications as a career. And I hope you'll join in. What are your questions about getting into the field? Or let us know why you love the Wisconsin Badgers, perhaps. The number to call, 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Diane Nordstrom, welcome. It's good to see you.
Thanks, Larry. It's been way too long.
It's been a long time. We might as well say my wife and you played some basketball together.
Yeah, we did. Many years ago, we were playing basketball. So, yeah, it was fun. You know, it was dangerous at times, but it was fun. This was City League, so yeah.
But a pretty high level.
Yeah, it was.
City League, as I know there were a lot of women who had played and started on their college basketball team. So mm-hmm. pretty good group. Well, what emotions are you feeling most now? You're retiring.
Friday is my last day, so I have a little sign on my door right now that says 4, counting down the days. So 4 days, tomorrow's going to be 3, and then 2. So, yeah, Friday is my last day after, well, it'll be almost over 30 years in my current position.
Wow. What emotions are you feeling most as you approach retirement?
Excitement, but also a little bit of sadness. I mean, yeah. it's been a career for, you know, as I said, over 30 years. So, you know, I'm going to miss the day to day. I'm really going to miss the people, you know, especially the student athletes and the coaches. But the thing is, now I get to be a fan. I don't have to get to an event 2 hours ahead of time and stay 2 hours afterwards. I can just come to the event, cheer on the Badgers, and then go home.
So give people an idea of how much goes into this behind the scenes. You can sort of mentioned it a bit, but maybe in more detail. To put together an athletic event at the UW-Madison, those sports that you're involved in.
For example, let's say volleyball, since that's my major sport and almost everybody knows Badger volleyball and how it has grown. But, you know, again, it's game notes, writing game notes for the media. That includes, if it's a TV match, it also includes radio and just for the regular beat reporters as well. So it's game notes. It's scheduling the statisticians that take the stats for the coaches during a match. It's, you know, making sure the media are all handled. It's the silly things like credentials and parking for those people, you know, things that you wouldn't necessarily think of, but you need to take care of your media so that they write good things about you. And and there's social media going on, you know, from, you know, Twitter or X, you know, Facebook, Instagram. So there's a lot of things that go on. And then afterwards, you know, you're doing interviews with the coaches and athletes, and it's just, and you're writing stories, a recap, and making sure the stats are getting out to the people. So there's a lot of things that go on.
Before and after, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you work much with Bonnie Olison?
Yeah, well, Bonnie, Miss Announcer, rock star announcer Bonnie Olson. So, yeah, I've worked with her with volleyball. I used to do women's basketball, so I've worked with her in that sport as well. So she's awesome.
Love that gal. She was a student of mine back in the day, so a long time ago. But she does a really good job of announcing, and I wanted to bring that up. Well, in college, you studied journalism.
Yeah.
What took you down the sports communication path?
Well, I actually wanted to be a reporter, whether it was sports reporter or, you know, just kind of like a newspaper reporter. But after my track career at Wisconsin, I had an additional semester. So I actually approached Tam Flareup, who was then the director of women's sports information, and asked her if I could get a job just so I'd have some work experience. And she gave me the job. It was only for a couple months. But I must have impressed her because after I graduated, she asked me to come back. And basically that started an internship with the program for 2 years. It just got me hooked because there's so many things. The job is kind of never the same thing twice.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. It's never the same thing twice. I remember Jim Boffman, rest his soul, from the School of Journalism here. And he told me once, he said, his first class, he said, well, how many people here, these students, want to be in sports information or sports, you know, announcing? And he said there were like 3 people who didn't raise their hand. Everybody wanted to be in sports.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of that people want to be on air. They want to be the ESPN, you know, play-by-play person or the person in the studio at ESPN. But, you know, my job is behind the scenes. I'm the person that gives those announcers all of that information on the teams.
Well, you were also doing some on-air stuff yourself.
Yeah, I've done the road broadcast for volleyball for many years. I believe it's almost, goes way back to like before 2013. So probably at least almost 20 years there doing radio. And I also used to do a women's sports radio show out at iHeartRadio with Terry Barr.
Yeah. You worked with John Artias, of course, in volleyball. And we I just had John on the show about a month or so ago, I think. A good guy to work with. What's it like to do that kind of work?
It's fun. I mean, I didn't play at the college level for volleyball, but because I have been around the sport for so long, I've done volleyball since 1991 at Wisconsin. So I obviously know the sport. I know the history of the sport. I know all the players. So, you know, I don't necessarily know, like, okay, that was a great play, but I can talk enough about, ooh, yeah, that was a great pass and that set up that play.
I'll just take this one more question further and then we can move on to something else. But in a role like that, John's doing the play-by-play.
Yeah, there's a very little bit of time after he is done calling the play before the next play starts that I can make like maybe a one-sentence comment about that play. So it's very brief. My role is pretty, you know, it's just in support of what he said.
I always thought that would be a really difficult, and John said, well, he does it very well. I listened.
Yes, he is very good.
He's very good at it. But it's, as opposed to football, you have fairly long time in between.
Yeah, with volleyball, you know, especially I always talk to people about just doing volleyball stats, that basically every touch of the ball has to be called something in the statistics that my team is taking. And then so John, you know, he has to call almost everything like that. And my biggest thing is trying not to yell over him, which I've done a few times. But, yeah, just basically me having to remember, okay, that was a great play by, let's see, Gigi Gulce-Gustakin that started that play, and that was the key to us winning a point or something like that.
Oh, man. Diane Nordstrom, our guest today. Well, I'm sure there are a lot of moments that stand out to you looking back over your career.
Yeah, I've been a part of 3 national championship teams. So the 2007 men's indoor track and field championship, I was there for that one. The 2011 men's cross country national championship, I was there for that one as well and got to go to the White House twice after both of those. And then, of course, the 2021 Volleyball Championship. You know, all three of those were incredible events.
Oh, man. Talking today with Diane Nordstrom, Associate Director of Brand Communications at UW-Madison. She's going to be retiring in 4 days. So had to get her on to talk about her role in sports communication. And we'll expand that and talk about sports communication in general when it comes to women or perhaps men as well. And you'll be able to join in. I hope you do. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Or shoot us an email. Maybe you've got an experience to share. Ideas@WPR.org is the place to go for that. We'll be taking a quick look at the news, and then we'll be back with Diane Nordstrom. I'm Larry Mueller. Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and we are talking with Diane Nordstrom about her career in sports communication. Diane's worked for the Badgers for more than 3 decades, and we'll also be talking about just getting into this field, and especially as it relates to women as well. And I hope you'll join in. Let us know why you love college sports. Were you an athlete in college? Have you been involved on the business side of sports and sports media? Number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. So who had the biggest influence on your career, do you think?
Oh, it would probably have to be, I'm sure, it would be Tam Flareup, who gave me my first job, my mentor that taught me the profession. She also introduced me to, you know, women leaders in the field of sports information. You know, got me involved on the national level, where I served on the board of, now it's called the College Sports Communicators. It used to be College Cosida College, I don't forget what it is now, but it's College Sports Communicator. So I served on the board, you know, so she is the one that got me started and, you know, would be able to give me advice in whatever I asked her.
Yeah, she was great to work with. I in my role on the athletic board, back from 95 for then seven more years after that, mm-hmm. I'd worked with Tam quite a bit. And she would be a good role model.
Yeah, she was a very good role model.
Over the years, the way people interact with athletics and consume news media have changed. In turn, how have you seen the field of sports communication evolve?
I think the biggest change has been the advent of social media. You know, there's so many people, especially young people, that are getting their information on social media channels. So rather than traditional media like either newspapers or TV or radio, they're getting their information. And quite honestly, that's who we want to reach. We're trying to reach those 17, 18-year-old recruits. So make an impression on them to say, you know, this is why you want to come to Wisconsin. So you want to push that on social media.
Yeah, so that's where social media goes, at least for the younger.
Yeah, very much so for the younger. So that's something you're talking about working in communications, athletic communications, is, you know, you definitely need a strong background in social media because one of our primary jobs is to help coaches recruit.
How many people do you have involved in the whole communication process at UW? When it comes to your...
It varies because we have some people that are in the more traditional role of the communications and and the interacting with media, then we have a lot more people involved in social media. We have about 9 full-time people that kind of do the traditional role of communications and or combination of both social media, and then we have several people that also just do social media.
So it takes a lot of people to do it.
Yeah, it really does. Just communicating across the board, and then, basically also setting up plans for example, like the bowl game yesterday. It's like there was a whole team working on that bowl game, how to promote the bowl game, when is something going out, when is an email going out, when is a Twitter post going out. So things like that. There's a whole kind of plan set up for that kind of event.
Now, do you do that? Or, are you part of that process?
I work a little bit with the volleyball and in there, but, and then some of the smaller sports, we rely on our students a lot to do the social media because they're in their late teens, early 20s, and they're a lot more familiar with social media, and they have a better idea of what the coaches are looking for or what the athletes, recruits are
looking for. And so you then have interns, just as you were an intern.
We have student, we have student employees. We hire about 9 to 10 student employees every year. And they might handle their own sport, like a tennis. They would be almost completely in charge with a sport like men's or women's tennis or swimming or diving. Or they might also help out with one of our full-time people. For example, I have a student that assisted me with volleyball. And there's a student that assists with men's basketball. And there's a student that assists with football. So, depending upon how your experience is, you could have a sport all your own or you could work with one of the larger sports.
I was thinking, we were talking during the newscast, I mentioned to you Jesse Garcia, who was the first female broadcaster in Wisconsin, and that's certainly in our working timeline here, our working lives.
Yeah, I remember when she was at Channel 3 here in Madison, and I know then she went to Milwaukee. She was a pioneer as well, and quite honestly, athletic communication, sports information, whatever you want to call it, is a very male-dominated field, just like, broadcasters are as well.
And so that's changed a lot.
It has. There's still a lot of on the national level. I know our the college sports communicators. They've done surveys in the past that only about 25% of the people in our profession are female. I'm sure that's probably gone up to maybe 30-35%, but it's still very much more men get into it because it is very time-consuming. When you think of when the athletic events are going on, you work those nights, you work those weekends. So it makes it hard to find time for family or friends and other things like that.
Diane Nordstrom, our guest today, she is Associate Director of Brand Communications at UW-Madison. Questions or comments for her, I hope you'll join in. Give us a call with your own question or maybe an experience to share. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. And we'll take a call, but before we do that, I wanted to mention or talk a little bit about fans. You mentioned to me that you have fan experiences many to share as well.
Yeah, especially in the sport of volleyball, where the position where I sit in, I'm actually sitting up on the press row, which is in the midst of all the fans. So I've gotten to know a lot of the fans that sit around me, or as I'm running up the stairs, there's always fans that will say hi. And there's especially the people that wait in line really early and sit on the north end zone. I've gotten to know those people very well also. So it's, that interaction, whether it's fan, and they'll ask me questions too. They'll be like, what do you know about this? And some stuff I can tell them, and some stuff I can't. So, that's part of the job, is that, it's kind of what happens in the office stays in the office.
But you have had a pretty good association. What's it been like working with the other folks at in UW Sports?
Very good. You know, it's, you know, everybody kind of works together. A lot of sharing of ideas, especially on social media or with the new technology coming out as well. You know, there's always something new that's coming out, whether or not you can create your own graphics for social media or things like that. And, you know, or if something is breaking and news-wise, we always share that kind of information. So, and it's also, you know, good to get ideas from other people. And it's just like, let's do what football did for the bowl game for an upcoming event, you know, for another sport.
You've worked with many student athletes over the years. I did too as a professor, but from your point of view, what's special or different about them?
I think it's just their commitment to their teams, their teammates, their coaches. When you think about the time they spent, you know, training, lifting, traveling, competing, and also studying. So many of them are just excellent in the classroom as well as on the court. You know, for example, Yulia Orzel, she received the NCAA Elite 90 award at the most recent NCAA championship, and that's for the highest cumulative grade point average of any of the participants in the Final Four teams. So she has a 3.97 grade point average in business on the team. So it's amazing their commitment, and they love to compete. They love to be on the court, and they just love to compete.
It is an interesting thing about athletes. I was thinking about my own daughter, who is, and I think you learn a lot of that in growing up. I remember in high school for Emily, she would be, we have to get up really early to go to school because we had to travel a little bit to get her to school, and then she'd be there all day, and then there's practice after that. She gets home around 6 o'clock. She'd go right straight upstairs and study a bit while I was getting dinner ready. She'd come down to eat, then go back up and study, and then repeat it all the next day. But I think it's that kind of commitment.
Yeah, their time management skills are just incredible. You know, they know when they have to do something, and they are always prepared, and just not even the practice. It's things like, you know, the videotape that they have to watch and the scouting that they do and have to be aware of what the other team does. And, you know, it's things like that as well that their brains must be going like 1,000 miles an hour just thinking, I have to get everything done.
But I never heard Emily complain. It's just, and I heard it the same kind of way from the students here, the athletes here.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, they know that is what is expected of them. For example, on volleyball, you know, Coach Kelly Sheffield makes them sit in the front rows when they go to a lecture, a class. So they're going to be paying attention to things like that. So, you know, the expectations are very high for them, especially as role models to younger people and to other student athletes.
Yeah. Nancy in Milwaukee's got a different perspective. She says she thinks universities shouldn't have any sports at all. They take a lot of money away from academics, she says. So what value do they add for people personally and to the university environment? That's her question.
I think we kind of answered that. As personally, it's like the skills that athletes learn, the time management, the leadership, the commitment. Just, you know, think of what an employer would look at for a student athlete, knowing that they committed to a sport and something like that. And also, how many students at Wisconsin love to go to Badger football games or love to go to hockey or any of the other sports? It adds a lot to just the overall student experience at Wisconsin.
And the university environment.
Yeah. And most cases at you know, that the athletic department is actually pretty much self-supporting. They fund themselves through ticket sales, through TV revenue and things like that. So it's not as if that money is being taken away from the academic side of things.
And in fact, funds through scholarships,
a lot of fans, a lot of alumni have endowed money for scholarships. So I don't know how many they're up to, probably close to like 300 of our student athletes, if not more, have endowed scholarships. So that's, you know, fewer expenses that the department has.
So you were a student athlete yourself, and maybe you talk a bit more about how that perspective helped you work with student athletes today.
Boy, things have changed so much, though.
What were your go ahead?
So I started at Wisconsin in the fall of 1980, and I walked on to the women's track and field team. So I had completely no idea of kind of what was expected of me. I was a three sport athlete in high school, so I competed in volleyball, basketball, and track in high school. In college, track became my sport. But just the training you go through, you know, the lifting, the training, you know, the travel. We traveled everywhere in three 20-passenger vans. We never took a bus. We rarely flew. So can you imagine driving 24 straight hours to go to spring break training trip in Florida, for example? You know, we didn't have a locker room. We had to share the locker room in the shell. I think we only probably had only like two different uniforms my entire career, you know, not like a new uniform every year like they get now. There were three people in the academic services center. There's probably about 40 now. So things have changed, but just that experience of being a student athlete, that commitment, you know, it helps you understand what they're going through.
So you got into this a little bit, but maybe talk a bit more about how things have changed for Wisconsin athletes, especially women, over the years.
Yeah, I mean, it's just with Title IX that, you know, the things have to be fairly equal. The numbers of athletes are supposed to reflect the student population, the overall student population at the university. So, you know, the opportunities for women athletes are, you know, very high. So, you know, just the chance to compete in a sport like hockey, or, you know, and there's only 36 women's hockey teams across the country, and Wisconsin has one of the best. So that chance to compete, but the money that, for example, volleyball charters almost everywhere they go. They take charter airplanes rather than having to bus or take three 20-passenger vans like we used to do. The support that they get, not only academically, but with other life skills. And, you know, our job is to prepare them for the next stage in their life, whether it's work, it's a professional athletic career. It's like we want to make their experience here at Wisconsin the best it can be so that they can succeed in life.
Well said. What's your advice for younger people wanting to get into sports communication? What do they need to know about the career and about preparing for it?
It's kind of a jack of all trades type of profession, because you're doing all sorts of different things. You're doing writing, you're doing desktop publishing, you're doing social media, you're doing photography, you're interacting with media and fans. You're doing statistics. So, you know, being an athlete yourself, that helps a lot. Like doing things liking to write, if you like to write and are good at that. If you're experienced in like desktop publishing, we use programs called, we use the Adobe Suite. So we use InDesign and Photoshop and Premiere and some of the other, you know, those type of things. So good experience in that. And I would say if you're interested, especially, you know, as a student, get involved with your high school newspaper if you have a chance. Mm-hmm. Just to get that experience, you know, and or, you know, learn the Adobe Suite options because, you know, those are things that are always very helpful. And as I said, we hire 9 to 10 students a year. So if you're interested, that'd be a great opportunity if you're a UW student.
And that's probably going on at every college across UW, or across the whole UW system and private colleges, and it doesn't matter
whether you're Division I, II, or III, or even an NAIA school or a junior college. It's like everybody is always looking for help, whether it's doing stats in a game or even, you know, just helping out at an event.
And the degree itself, now you were in journalism, but you don't have to be necessarily in journalism to learn.
No, I mean, it's kind of a combination of journalism, public relations, a bunch of other things. But we have a person in our office who was a history major. You don't necessarily have to be in the communications field, though it does help, especially with just your background skills. But you know, if you have an interest in sports and want to work with a lot of the top sports here at Wisconsin, you know, you can do almost anything.
What are you looking forward to in retirement?
Free time, sleeping in. but I think just being a fan of Badger athletics, because a lot of the things that I do currently, it's like, you know, technically I'm supposed to be impartial. I'm not supposed to be a Badger fan. I don't know if anybody out there has heard no cheering in the press box. You know, your media members are supposed to be impartial. So, you know, you can't cheer for your teams. So I'm looking forward to that. But I still have some opportunities. I think I've already contacted like the Big Ten Network to assist with like their in-game stats, to assist the announcers with doing that in-game stats stuff. And you know, so
you're not getting out of it.
Completely. Nope. So I don't think I could do that entirely. Just say, nope, I'm done. No, I think still being a part of, you know, athletics at in some way will definitely be part for the rest of my life.
Well, you've had your best. What's your fondest memory?
Oh, boy. That's really hard to say. I mean, just the national championships have been incredible. But, you know, anytime an athlete succeeds at something and you see the look on their face is just incredible. I mean, there are, we talked about it, there are, you know, thousands of student athletes that I have worked with throughout my career. But, and there's so many that I still remember their name or maybe even their hometown, you know. So I just hope the impact I made on them is as important as my impact. So, you know, that they've made an impact on me, and I hope that is reciprocated.
You've had a great career, Diane. Thank you so much for taking time with us to talk about it.
Thank you, Larry. It was fun.
It was fun. Diane Nordstrom, Associate Director of Brand Communications at UW-Madison for 4 more days.
I like the sound of that.
Thank you so much for listening. Scott Craven joins us tomorrow to talk the world of wildlife. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network.